the April 7th, 2022 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phones or computer microphone when not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. We will move to roll call. The board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton, Commissioner Sanssouci.
I'm here.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah.
I'm here.
TBWD, Commissioner Duggan.
Here.
All right, thank you. This concludes roll call. All other attendance will be recorded using the Microsoft participant list.
All right, thank you very much. The first thing we are going to deal with today is potential action after the executive session. Before we begin our regular meeting, we did just meet in the executive session prior to this. Is there any business or action that needs to come before the board as a follow-up to the executive session?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I believe we have a motion that we need to consider to make a decision based on that conversation.
Okay. And I see you have your hand raised.
I will move that the WWSS board affirm that the commission can proceed with the acquisition of property interests located at tax lot 31 W11C00603 in Wilsonville, Oregon, as set forth in the commission resolution number WWSS-06-21, and that the commission fully delegate to the general manager the authority to acquire this property interest, including through reasonable settlement of the condemnation complaint.
Commissioner Duggan seconds that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Next item on today's agenda is the General Manager's Report. Mr. Kreska will present the General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Chair Judah, and good afternoon, Commissioners. As we always do with General Manager's Report, we always start off with a safety moment, and today's safety moment is spring cleaning. So something we should probably all start thinking about doing right now. Question is, are you ready to tackle it? And if you are, then you probably have a whole collection of household cleaners like this. And if not used properly, they can present hazards to you at your house that we need to be aware of and be cautious of. So here are some tips to stay safe when using these types of products. So first off is always read the label before using a product that might be poisonous. There's a lot of good information on those labels to make sure that us and others stay safe in their use. And it's also important to keep those cleaning products in their original bottles or containers. The containers are designed to store these products safely, and they also contain the useful information we need to know about using these products safely. So another thing to keep in mind is to never mix household products together. Some folks think that if you mix them together, it'll create an even more powerful cleaning agent. And that's a really bad idea because sometimes mixing them, for example, bleach and ammonia can create toxic gases. And frankly, this is a significant problem for folks that happens every year. Remember to wear appropriate protective clothing, like things like gloves, and turn on a fan or open windows when using household cleaners. So with that, welcome spring, and go forth with your house cleaning and spring cleaning. Continuing on with the General Manager's Report, we'll start off with our permitting and communications updates. As it has been for many months now, the Willamette Water Supply Program permitting efforts remain very active. Attached to the General Manager's Report is a tabulation of all permits and approvals recently granted and the status of those currently in process. A few updates on the permitting side is that several permits were obtained for the Reservoir Res 1.0 project, including Washington County Right-of-Way Utility Permit, Washington County Permitted Access Right-of-Way Permit, and the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Blasting Permit. Additionally, the Oregon Health Authority completed its plan review Returning the comment that split-leaf hatches are not permitted on the reservoir roof, staff are seeking a waiver of this condition by providing additional information to the OHA that proves how the design is consistent with OHA's requirements. Communications team's outreach this month is focused on pre-construction notifications, in specific, in advance of Pipeline Main or PLM 5.3 construction. That's our pipeline project in Grabford Road, going around Baker Rock and across Farmington Road. The construction in mid-April, staff have been working closely with property owners along the route to provide pre-construction condition assessments of their properties and drinking water wells. 15 property owners have requested assessments of their wells, which have now been scheduled for the week of April 11th. Staff also hosted a virtual Meet the Contractor event on March 11, during which residents were provided a brief presentation about the PLM 5.3 project and construction timeline, followed by a question and answer session with representatives from the construction contractor, Hoffman Fowler, and project engineers. Regarding our design status updates, we reached a milestone here is that the final pipeline project was advertised for bidding this week, bringing the WWSP pipeline design activities to a close. Since design work on the above-ground facilities was also completed months ago, this marks the end of the completion of all design work for the WWSP. So that's really quite a milestone. 7 years into operating the program, we are now out of the design business and fully into the construction business. Speaking of which, construction status updates attached to this general management report is the tabulation of the projects in construction and their status. A few highlights include that we've completed all of the phase one work at the raw water facilities project. You might remember the phase one work at the raw water facilities project is everything below grade. So all the foundation work, pipelines, utilities, all of that work is now complete or essentially complete. We've completed the 66-inch water line on the PLW 1.3 project and began preparations for testing and disinfection. We completed the second and third tunnels out of seven on the MPE 1.2 project, which is near Highway 217. It's near the intersection of Highway 217 and Shoals Ferry Road and also Hall Boulevard. And we began the fourth tunnel. We've continued the open cut installation of the 16-inch Beaverton water line and the 48-inch WWSP water line. And third or fourth, we've completed all of the tree clearing at the water treatment plant site. And finally, an update on our steel market exposure. Steel market prices rose significantly the last few weeks of Q1 2022. The Russian invasion of Ukraine is believed to be a contributing factor on the commodity pricing. Pricing for hot rolled band, the material used to fabricate WWSS transmission pipe, is up 20% from last month. Price volatility may impact production rates and lead times. Program staff are working with our construction contractors to mitigate any possible delays to our construction projects. And then as has been consistent for the last few months, staff is continuing to monitor steel market and are still not recommending a change in our construction procurement plans and strategies at this time. So with that, that concludes my general management report. I'd be glad to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions for Mr. Kraska?
Thank you.
So I can't let you get away without one question, Dave.
Okay.
So I saw the news report that said that a number of activities along Highway 217, including the expansion and the road work they're doing and the WWSS, are having trouble hiring workers to complete our projects on time. I don't know if you spoke to anybody on that or that was an assumption by somebody. I just wondered what our current status is in terms of making sure enough people get hired to meet our construction plans.
Yeah, I saw that report as well. I think it's a bit of a misrepresentation. I know there's labor challenges, labor shortages. And frankly, in that particular situation, so to answer your question, no. To my knowledge, we are not, it's hard, but it's not like we haven't been able to hire the folks that we need in order to get our work done. And whether it's I haven't heard from our contractors or from our own construction management staff, because as you can imagine, as we're heading into this very steep curve of expanding our construction activities, We need to also expand our construction management staff, including our construction managers, our inspectors, and all of that, in order to make sure that everything gets constructed according to our specifications, so that we're monitoring our mitigation requirements and everything else. So it's hard, but it's not like we haven't been able to solve that problem. One of our contractors, so in terms of staffing, one of our contractors is going to have the biggest challenge, is our water treatment plant contractor. But they've got months coming ahead of just doing ground improvements or groundwork, basically drilling and blasting and grading and everything else, preparing the site. And it'll be months before then until they really start ramping up on the staffing needs on that project. So they have quite a bit of time in order to correct any challenges. The last point I'll make is one of the solutions to labor shortages is just cost. It is just how much people are getting paid. And everyone is aware on this call here how much the cost of the water treatment plant project went up. And I think one of the reasons it went up so much is because of the competition for labor. And that the contractors, our primary contractor, Sunt, and all of the subcontractors that bid on that work knew that they had to compete for labor forces to get them to work and prioritize our project above others. And so that is one of the major reasons why the treatment plant cost went up so much, because it is the most labor-intensive element of the program that we're constructing at this time. So long-winded answer, but hopefully answered your question.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, I don't see any hands raised. No other questions, I assume. So let's move to the next area on our agenda today, which is public comment. That public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Annette, do we have any person or persons who would like to comment today?
No, we do not.
All right. Thank you. As a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. Next item today is the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. First item A, approve the March 3rd, 2022 meeting minutes. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this action.
Commissioner Sanssouci moves approval of the consent agenda.
Commissioner Duggan seconds.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Thank you very much. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, thanks. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TBWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, excellent. The motion passes. Okay, we're moving on to business agenda items. Item A, consider approving an amendment to contract 2016-320 with David Evans and Associates, Inc. for $742,503.78 to provide regulatory permitting services and related consulting services for the Willamette Water Supply Program. Ms. Walter will present the staff report.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I have a number of slides for you here with a lot of details to share with you, so please feel free. I welcome questions in the middle. Don't hesitate to stop and ask if you have it right then, because we've got about eight slides to go. So if you want to go ahead and advance to the next slide, thank you. We are bringing before you the annual amendment to the David Evans Associates contract, which provides regulatory permitting and related consulting services for the WWSP. This will be amendment number 34. For the new term to run April 10th, 2022 through April 9th, 2023, so 1 year from now. It contains both additions and reductions in services to allow us to sustain our progress in securing the final 151 remaining pre-construction permits needed for the program, as well as the compliance monitoring during construction. So we're shifting, obviously, from design to actual construction. so too does the work that David Evans and Associates does for us with this contract. So in a nutshell, today we're asking the board to consider approving the amendment, which would add $742,503.78 for the new scope of work for the term April 10th, 2022 through April 9th, 2023. Next slide, please. Just a general overview of the services, the base services provided by DEA to the program through this contract. They prepare and submit for our permit modifications to the Army Corps and DSL for our water quality permit as our design plans have finalized and continue to be detailed. This upcoming term, we anticipate filing one major permit modification request for approval from both of those entities, and that is for our major blow-off at the Tualatin River for startup and commissioning activities. As well, we anticipate this term, this upcoming term, one minor modification, and that will be for the adding the access road to the water treatment plant design plans, getting those approved. DEA also coordinates the preparation and submission of all of our pre-construction permits. As I've mentioned before, we have 151 left to go. To put it in scale or in context, in total, the permitting team has identified a total of 488 permits in total that we need to secure. So we are moving along very well. We're down to the last 25 to 30% left of those, but still a little bit of work effort there left to go. So 151 on our checklist to continue working on. DEA provides field monitoring, compliance enforcement support during the construction phase. And as we all know, all the projects will be in total construction this project term for this term for the contract. So we'll have 15 active construction sites during this term that DEA staff will be monitoring for permit compliance. DEA prepares and assists us in implementing post-construction monitoring and restoration plans. They prepare and coordinate all annual reporting to our regulatory agencies. So those would include Army Corps, DSL, ODFW, our report for the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, with ODFW, our capture, hold, transfer, relocation permit, those reports, as well as our thermal trading plan report, annual report to DEQ. Any questions before I jump to the next slide? Okay, next slide, please. Okay. New and expanded activities that DEA will be adding and providing us support with in this scope of work. Supporting us in acquiring permitting for the fiber optic line installation. Phase one and two hazardous materials site assessments for the ground lease improvements for PLM 1.3. They will be coordinating with DEQ on water quality certification and our thermal trading plan implementation. Specifically right now, they are helping us to identify additional credit generating projects. The work that we are doing out at Malala State Park is not going to be enough credits that we need to generate before now in 2026. And so DEA is helping us right now to scope out, research additional sites, helping to coordinate conversations with State Department of State Parks. Right now, we have a number of locations we're looking at. We're kind of ferreting out if they're good potential sites for additional, putting more shade in the ground or more plants in the ground to create shading. And so there is a large work of effort that's started in this current term and will continue in the next scope of work. Let's see. And then, of course, we just need to acknowledge that on that front as well, anything that is ultimately negotiated with Water Watch during the litigation could result in additional work out that we will need to do for thermal trading credit generation. So we're just kind of keeping that all in our minds as we prepare the scope of work and negotiate it with DEA. DEA will also be helping us in monitoring and staying compliant with the Wildlife Protection Plan for PLW 2.1 out at Orinco Woods Nature Park in Hillsboro. We want to ensure that we comply with everything we committed to the neighbors out there that we would do to protect the wildlife that exists along that corridor for the project. And so DEA will be monitoring that in addition to their regular field monitoring that they do for us. And finally, they will be helping us to complete land use permitting for the Orenco Woods Nature Park trail improvements. Again, those are commitments that we made through the settlement agreement we concluded with City of Hillsborough Metro for securing the pipeline easement through the park. So that's the new and additional scope of services we're adding on this term. Any questions? Okay, next slide, please. So, just to give you a little bit of background on the contract itself, DEA was selected through a competitive process back in October 2015. The original term for the contract was 2 years, but the contract included possible extensions through 2027 to carry us through the lifespan of the program. At the time, the possible 12-year duration to the contract would provide, we intended it to provide continuity and consistency of instructional, of institutional knowledge for the program as the program evolved and was seen to its conclusion of construction. We did include clauses in the contract that did provide us some easy outs should we not feel that DEA was not performing up to standards that we were expecting. They have up to this point, and so those clauses do remain in the contract moving forward if we ever had to use them, but we did consider that. Also, cost was a key consideration at the initial at the time of the initial awarding of contract and moving forward into that contract for these services. The contract was set up with terms that included annual caps on labor rate adjustments. The labor rates are reviewed and approved by the program director each year. All key staff proposed to work for the WWSP under this contract are reviewed and approved by the program director annually. When we review those staff positions that are in the contract and the individuals that will be working for us, we actually do look at the role that they would be performing, their qualifications, their labor rate, and the expertise that they bring to the program at what we believe is going to be needed for that contract term. So that's all in consideration. And finally, the annual scope of work is negotiated each year based on the anticipated activities of the coming year. So that's all been taken into account. I'll just note also that this contract includes all of DEA sub-consultants. So it's not just DEA that we're paying for through this contract. Also included are Angelo Planning Group. They provide our land use permitting specialties there, or specialists there. Historic Research Associates, they do our cultural resource studies. GeoSyntech, they assist us with our thermal trading plan modeling and implementation. TerraPhase is included in there. They do our hazardous material studies, and Heritage Tree Specialist. They assist us with our tree removals and planning for all of that in our landscape planning. So, let's see. Any questions here before I jump to the next slide? Okay. To recap, our major components of this contract amendment is approving the new scope of work for the term April 10th, 2022 through April 9th, 2023, and approving the corresponding budget. Next slide, please. Okay, so the cost of the amendment number 34 that we're talking about today is $742,503.78, which we are proposing to add to the contract. The funds will be added to approximately $1 million of remaining unspent budget from this current year. The reason for the unspent budget is that we've had we've had to resequence some of our construction projects, which delayed some of the start of the field monitoring phases for permitting compliance during construction. So permitting always seems to trail after all the design plans are put into place. And so since some of the designing was delayed and pushed out a little, we're trailing behind, and some of the work that we had proposed to do in the current contract are actually going to occur in the new contract year. So, let's see, what more can I tell you? The value of the contract amendment is actually lower than previous year's amendment, and that's due to this, some of this deferred work that we're playing catch up and moving forward into the new year with. Let's see, so this, the total negotiated budget for the scope of work to be performed in this coming year is $1,742,503.78, of which we are only needing to add $742,503.78 to. The additional funds are being added and were accounted for in the baseline 7.0 budget. Overall, this is a decrease of 20% in budget from prior years, and the annual budget is on track to continue decreasing as design phase completed and we shift completely and primarily to compliance monitoring during construction. Any questions on this slide? Okay, let's move to the next. Okay, so here's the contract value summary. Initial contract budget back in 2015 was $589,896. Amendments numbers 1 through 33 since that time involved adding a total of $9,245,985.57. For our current, right now, contract value of $9,835,881.57. With today's amendment, number 34, if approved, we would be adding another $742,503.78, bringing the total value of the contract to $10,578,385.35. And then we have taken and split out there the proportionate share of cost of this amendment amongst the partners. So breaking out the $742,503.78, it's broken as follows. TBWD share is $450,254.29. City of Hillsborough's portion, $256,460.81, and the City of Beaverton's portion is $35,788.68. Any questions? Again, a lot of details. Okay, and if you would like to advance to the next step or to the next, any questions at this point?
All right, thank you very much. Do we have any questions for Ms. Walter? Commissioner Sansusi.
And this question I'm asking primarily because I have not been part of this project from the very beginning. Was it anticipated when the project began, given the complexity of all of this, the work necessary, that there would be this much cost associated with permitting? I'll say that I don't find it unreasonable given the total budget for the project, but I'm just curious if this is higher or lower than people thought it might be.
My understanding is yes, it was on this magnitude, but I too hope was not with the program at the very onset, so I turned to some of my other colleagues if with the program to fill that part in. Sorry.
Yeah, nothing to apologize for. Yeah, so I am one of the folks that's been at this from the very beginning. And yeah, it is a lot of money, but as Christina pointed out, there's hundreds of permits and approvals that we needed along the way. And then as we go along the way, we find new things that we have to address as well, like the thermal trading plan and what it's taken to land that, and then some of the modifications that we've needed to make through our permit amendments and everything else like this. But in terms of like a macro level total spend on permitting to get this level of work done, it's on par with what we would have expected.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. Do I have a motion and a second to approve an amendment to contract 2016-320 with David Evans and Associates, Inc. for $742,503.78, provide regulatory permitting services and related consulting services for the Willamette Water Supply Program. Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this item.
This is Commissioner Duggan, so moved.
Commissioner Sanssouci seconds.
I thank you. We have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
TBWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Item B on our business agenda items today is consider authorizing by motion authority to the Lemet Water Supply System General Manager to approve requests for tree donations to outside parties, including other governmental entities, which execute a tree donation acknowledgement form. Ms. Walder will present the staff report.
And this is a much smaller presentation, it's only a couple of slides. But today we're bringing forward to you for consideration the general terms and conditions for donating of trees removed from the WWS property during construction. Next slide, please. There we go. Okay, so we all acknowledge during the course of construction, we will be bringing down trees, taking them out and removing them from various locations along the alignment and at the facility sites. The reason we're bringing this to you, section 5.4.19 of the WWSS IGA establishes that the commission's authority to dispose of personal property. In this case, the trees are the personal property of the commission. The management authority matrix also requires the commission's approval for any intergovernmental agreement. So this action, so the requested board action is to authorize the general manager to accept and then approve requests for tree donations from outside parties, including other governmental entities, who choose to execute a tree donation acknowledgement form. Tree donations will require transfer or delivery to outside parties, including possible other government entities that are willing to accept the terms and who value them specifically for use in environmental restoration projects. The tree donation acknowledgement form, which is attached to the packet, spells out the terms and conditions under which we could donate. This photo here shows the conditions and the types of trees we're talking about that were donated. These ones were actually specifically donated to Clean Water Services for their use in the Chicken Creek Restoration Project out at the Tualatin River National Wildlife Refuge. The acknowledgement forms that we are bringing forward to you simplifies the protocol on the program's end for processing such donation requests and to be able to give the trees to entities that would like to have them. But again, the terms include, and we ask them to sign this one-page form saying that you accept these terms. Recipients must be willing to participate on a site walk with a member of the WWSP team. The walk is to clarify and identify the quantity of trees that are requested or wanted, to identify any desired tree preparation, things like delimbing of the trees before we turn them over to them. It would be at the WWSP sole discretion if it can accommodate any preparations that are being asked of us of those particular trees. The WWSP will arrange for delivery at no cost to the recipient unless the recipient wants to make arrangements for them to pick up and transport the trees off of our site. The recipient must also comply with all safety requirements when they happen to be on the WWSS site or sites for these trees. So if they come onto our site, they have to comply with our safety requirements. Next slide, please. Okay. So again, staff is asking the board to consider authorizing the general manager to accept and to approve these requests for tree donations to outside parties, including other government entities which are willing to execute a tree donation acknowledgement form. And the last point, I just wanted to point out that we already have one government entity that is very, very interested in receiving some of these trees. City of Hillsborough Parks and Rec Department is currently interested in receiving trees from the PLW 2.1 project for their reuse in environmental restoration projects out of the Jackson Bottoms wetlands. So if approved, we already have someone eager beaver to receive those trees and do some good work with them. Any questions?
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Christina? Christina, I can't let you get away without one question. Okay. In your last presentation, when we talked about those things that David Evans and Associates did, I'm going to incorrectly state this because I don't remember your exact words, but we need to earn more credits for some environmental thing. That's the part I can't tell you exactly, but you talked about that. So is there no way we can use our own trees for any other restoration projects that we are currently doing to gain more of those environmental credits?
Up to this point, not exactly. The trees that we, what our plans are for restoration of the site and mitigation of the site is predominantly to put back into the ground, covering for the ground or trees that, you know, we might remove, but given the nature and the consistency of these trees, the way we bring them down, the their best next life, if you will, be is in restoration projects as woody debris, where we're also doing work, thermal trading plans, those kind of credit generating projects, is actually putting in brand new trees to create shading. So at this point, our plans have not called for using these specific trees that we bring down. It's need to put in new vegetation that will take root and take hold and restore the environment back to the way it was, if not better, than when we came through with the pipeline and the projects.
Thank you very much. Just want to make sure there's no other questions before I proceed. Okay. Do I have a motion and a second to authorize, by motion, the authority to the Willamette Water Supply General Manager to approve requests for tree donations to outside parties, including other governmental entities, which execute a tree donation acknowledgement form? Please remember, state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this item.
Mr. Duggan, I move that we authorize the general manager to donate to outside parties any trees that would otherwise be disposed of, and that we authorize the general manager to enter into agreements for that purpose, including with other governmental entities, using the tree donation acknowledgement form presented to us or any similar agreement approved by legal counsel for this purpose.
And a second from Commissioner Sansusi.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Thank you very much. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you all. Now on to information items on our agenda. Item A, Ms. Bennett will present the staff report on business agenda items planned for the May WWSS Commission Board meeting.
Thank you, Chair Judah. This one will be very short. At this time, there are only two anticipated action items for May. The first is the Sherwood Emergency Intertie Agreement, which I've shared with you before. Still working on conversations with the City of Sherwood, and we anticipate it will be ready next month. The second and final item is the MPE 1.3 contract for construction. The MPE 1.3 project is located in Shoals Ferry Road from Roy Rogers at the west to just shy of Nimbus at the east. The project was advertised for bidding to the program's 10 pre-qualified contractors, and bids are being evaluated for the lowest price. We published that advertisement on February 23rd. They were due on the 5th of April. We received two bids, which the team is currently analyzing. So at the next board meeting in May, we plan to present the proposed contract with a recommendation for approval. And that concludes the summary of upcoming action items. Are there any questions?
All right, thank you very much. I see no questions, no raised hands. Item B under information items is our next board meeting, as just indicated, is on May 5th, 2022, via this Microsoft Teams remote meeting. Communication and non-agenda items. There are no communication or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Before I ask for adjournment, does anybody have anything else they want to bring up to today's meeting or talk about or discuss? I see none. All right, thank you. There being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned.